And now would you please open your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 for the text of our lesson this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Very brief reading. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the reading of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. One of the very pleasant memories of my childhood, and I'm not sure exactly how long ago this was, because, you know, when you go back into early childhood, you don't remember what dates were. It's somewhere around 1950, and I was somewhere around 5 years old. And my grandparents on my mother's side moved from Southwest Texas, which was the Sprott family home, to Huntsville, Arkansas. Actually, they were out on a gravel road west of Huntsville, Arkansas, on a 40-acre rock pile on top of a hill that my granddad Sprott called a farm, and he said he was in God's country because it was green in contrast to Southwest Texas. In the summertime, when my dad was traveling and holding gospel meetings, sometimes we would go up and stay with Mama and Daddy Sprott, as we called them. And my brother and I had a lot of fun out in the woods and on the farm. But the one thing we didn't like is that, well, first of all, there was no running water and and there was no electricity. There was an outhouse, but there was no indoor plumbing. Mom and Daddy Sprott went to bed ridiculously early because they didn't want to have to burn up the coal oil for the lamps, and so they went to bed early. And about the time that it got dark, Daddy Sprott would say, "Emmer, get the book." He never did learn that my grandmother's name was Emma. And he would say, "Emmer, get the book." And Mama Sprott would get the Bible. And we'd all sit around the pot-bellied stove in the living room. Sonny and I would be on the floor. And Daddy Sprott, I remember his chair. It was a platform rocker with a red velvet cover. And he would be sitting in his platform rocker, and Mama Sprott would read the Bible. She had been an old maid school teacher before Daddy Sprott married her, and she was a very fine reader, and she had a very soft voice, and I loved to hear her. And she would read a chapter in the Bible. And then Daddy Sprott would get out of his chair, and he'd put a knee on the floor, and he'd put his head where he had been sitting on that red velvet cover. And he had a snowy white shock of hair. He had hair on top of his head. And it was just snowy white. And he would pray. Do you know the difference between saying a prayer and praying? Daddy Sprott did not say a prayer. He prayed. He was an old, rough West Texas cowboy. He had had a hard life. But he had given his life to his God. And he prayed. And that's one of the great, great memories of my childhood. And I learned, I really believe, right there, the importance of prayer. Our children, our grandchildren, we ourselves need to be brought to a realization of the importance of prayer in the life of a Christian. There's a whole lot of things. In fact, I was thinking as I was preparing this sermon this week that I have actually a workbook that I helped put together on prayer, and sometime we need to study that. But I just want to say a few things this morning concerning the will of God, the will of the Lord, so far as prayer. What is the will of the Lord about prayer? Now, there's a whole lot more that I won't be able to get to. But first of all, we want to talk about what prayer is. And I'll say a few things that may sound kind of technical. I hope not. But it's really very, very simple. What the Lord teaches concerning prayer, our children, our little children in this audience can understand what the Lord has to say concerning prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore I exhort, first of all..." Now, so this is something of paramount importance. This is first importance. I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now there are four terms. Now one is a phrase, but three words and then a phrase that are used in this verse that describe for us what we are to do when we pray. And I want to go through each of these words and see what they mean. And again, I'll have some definitions, but it's not complicated. First of all is the word supplications. Supplications has to do with asking for needs. Now it may have to do with asking for our own needs or asking for the needs of others. But I think in this context, it's emphasizing asking for our own needs because it's mentioned in contrast with intercessions, which is asking in behalf of others. But when we pray, we're going as supplicants. That means somebody that's asking for a favor. And we're going to God, who is the one who's able to grant these favors. And we're asking Him that our needs might be met. The word is used this way in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, when it's talking about Jesus and His prayer in the garden. And you remember what an intense prayer. Three prayers that Jesus prayed in the garden. And though He was praying for Himself there in the garden, He'd already prayed for His disciples before they left the upper room and went out to the garden in John chapter 17. But now He's praying in His own behalf. And notice how the inspired writer describes it in Hebrews chapter 5 verse 7 says, who in the days of His flesh, when He offered up prayers and supplication. Now prayers is the general word. Supplications is asking for His needs. With vehement cries and tears to Him was able to save Him from death and was heard because of His godly fear. I believe it's very important that we see that God heard Jesus' prayer. But Jesus was praying, Father, if it be Your will, this cup may pass from me. But notice He said, not my will, but Yours be done. And what the Father granted Him was the strength to go to the cross. And so His prayer was heard. It was heard in harmony with God's will, even as Jesus prayed. But I want you to see He was asking for His own needs and the intensity of His prayer. With vehement cries and tears, He was asking that His needs might be met. And this is the intensity sometimes that we might go before God in asking for things that are so important to us. And we know that God is able to do what we need done. And we know that He will do what is best. And so we ask Him that the Father will grant these things. So the first thing we will see when we pray, we're asking God to give us the things that we need. But then also the word supplications can be used of asking in behalf of others. In Romans chapter 10 verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God. And the word prayer in Romans 10 verse 1 is the same word in the original translated supplications. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1. So he says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That was one of the deepest desires of the heart of the Apostle Paul, is that his brethren in the flesh, the Israelites, that they might be led to salvation. And so he was giving a supplication to God in their behalf. So supplications are simply asking for our needs. We all have needs that we don't know how to meet. And we take those needs to God in prayer. And sometimes we're doing what we're able to do and we're getting others to do what they're able to do. For example, for medical needs. But we know that there's things beyond our control, beyond the control of the medical community, that we leave in the hands of God. And we take those prayers to God asking in our behalf and in behalf of others. Then there's the word prayers. And then that's in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers. And this is the general word for prayer. Any offering of our needs to God, any offering of our wishes to God. But listen, just think of prayer the same way you learned it as a child. Prayer is talking to God. Now, God talks to us through the Bible, the Scriptures, His Word. And we talk to Him in prayer. And we need to be doing both. I'm going to say more about that later on. We need to be letting God talk to us by reading His Word, the Bible. And we need to be talking to God and let Him know. Now, I know He knows what's on our mind. But He wants us to tell Him. He wants us to ask Him. Just like when my children were small, I pretty much, and Sandy pretty much knew what they needed, but we like for them to ask us. And so that would show that they understood that relationship of child to parent. And God wants us to ask Him because He wants us to understand the relationship that we have to Him, that we need Him. And He wants us to talk to Him and to give us the needs that we have, that we recognize, and then recognize that He knows those needs better than we do. So prayer is simply talking to God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere. We're going to come back to that passage later. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. So we're to talk to God everywhere and at all times. Say more about that later. And then also there's the word intercessions. Now intercessions is specifically speaking to God in behalf of others. We must not be selfish in our prayers. Not only should we think of our own needs and our own desires, but we should also think about our brothers and sisters in Christ, and even those who are lost, those who are our concern, and we should ask in behalf of others. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, a very good example of the use of this word intercessions. Therefore, and it's talking about Jesus as our high priest, He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, since He always lives to make intercession for them. Jesus prays in our behalf. He is interceding in our behalf to the Father at the right hand of God on high. And so we also should intercede with God in behalf of our brothers and sisters in Christ for the needs that they have. And all you have to do if you want to know some needs that members of this congregation have is to get your bulletin and look at the announcements in the bulletin. And you know, we're having to make the article shorter because the number of needs that are in the bulletin keep getting longer. I'm not apologetic for that at all. I don't intend to change because we are to have those concerns for one another. And so we're going to, we need to be aware of the needs that we each have, that other members of the congregation have, and we need to be interceding in behalf of one another, recognizing that God hears and answers our prayers. And then we also recognize that there is the giving of thanks. I want to tell you a quick story to illustrate the importance of this giving of thanks. When I was preaching in Conway a number of years ago, my parents still had their farm at Damascus, which is 22 miles north of Conway. As I've said a lot of times, I'm kin to Saul of Tarsus. I spent half my life on the road to Damascus. And we would go up there and garden with my parents. No, we did not save any money. We spent a lot more money. But we would go up there and garden, about a half acre garden with my parents. And one thing, around the 1st of March each year, we planted potatoes. And the day that the kids got out of school, my kids were unusual. My brother's kids were unusual. They did not look forward to summer vacation. Because the first day out of school, we got to go to the farm and dig potatoes. And we'd spend all day digging potatoes and sacking them up. And we would have the back of a pickup truck full of tow sack of potatoes. Now, three families involving a total of eight kids, what do you do with a pickup full of potatoes? And you know, we didn't have a place to store them too long. What do? Well, you give a lot of them away. And so I would then go back to Conway with all the potatoes that were allotted to my family. And we would keep what we thought we could use before they went bad. And then I'd go around with sacks of potatoes for some of the brethren in the congregation. And I went to one fellow who I grew up with him, and I thought he was a good friend. And I gave him probably 25 or 30 pounds of potatoes. And he looked. Now, what would you expect somebody to do? And they'd just been dug that day. Fresh potatoes, fresh out of the ground. What would you expect somebody to do at that point? He said, well, these must have been your bad ones you didn't want to use. Last time I gave that fellow anything out of the garden. Now, would you expect a simple thank you? Do you, when you do somebody a favor and they don't even bother to say thank you and make a snide remark instead, do you want to do that person any more favors? You know, it kind of eliminates the desire, doesn't it? Well, now, how many times do we go to God in prayer for the things that we need and God hears and answers our prayer and we don't bother to go back and say, thank you, Father, for having answered my prayer? How many times isn't that? Now, that's what's called an ingrate. Somebody's not grateful for the favors that are done for them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, how many things should we be thankful in? In everything, giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. God's watching over us at all times. And as long as we're living for Him and praying, He's giving to us the things that are for our good, for our salvation. We may not be able to see it at the time, but in everything we ought to be thanking God for His watchful care over us as our Father, trying to help us to work out our salvation. But then there's one thing not mentioned in 1 Timothy 2, which Jesus mentions right at the very beginning, when He gave the model prayer to His disciples that's recorded of the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 6, and sometimes we forget this. And before I give this from Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, I think a good way of thinking of this, if you have a good friend, do you like to tell that friend how much you appreciate them and how much you think of them? Do you like for your friends to do that for you? Just to tell them, to express to you, you know, you're a good friend. You've done a lot of things for my, and I appreciate what you do. Well, that's something we want from each other. Do you think God doesn't want us to express to Him the appreciation we have and how much we think of Him? Yes, He does. And since He's so far above us, then we do that by praising Him. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, in this manner, now this is how the model prayer starts out. In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now there's two things I want to get from that little short verse there. First of all, when I pray to God, I address Him as my Father. I was reading recently an article written on how to approach Muslims. And Muslims think it's blasphemy to mention God as your Father because they think of it literally. Well, they need to get over it. They need to learn that that's a figure of speech. That is a beautiful figure of speech. And by the way, they believe Jesus is a prophet. And Jesus taught us to pray that, so they definitely need to get over it. Jesus is the one who told us to pray our Father. And I sometimes hear in our congregations, men pray in behalf of the congregation, and they'll start the prayer, oh Jehovah God. Well, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with calling the Lord Jehovah God. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. And that's how He revealed Himself to Old Testament Israel. I'm not an Old Testament Jew. And I'm not interested in going back to the relationship that Jews had. In Christ Jesus, we have a privilege that is almost above our imagination. The God of the universe, the Creator of the heaven and the earth, He teaches me to call upon Him as my Father. What a blessed privilege. What a wonderful relationship that in Christ Jesus I'm a child of God and He is my Father. And He wants me to address Him as my Father, but recognize He's in heaven, He's above me, and His name is hallowed. That means His name is holy, and that's praising Him. So I address my God as my Father, that blessed privilege I have in Christ Jesus. And I am so blessed to have that privilege, I don't want to overlook that privilege. But then we must remember to praise Him. Tell Him how much we think of Him, how we realize how great He is and how good He is to us, and never forget. Now that's what prayer is. Now the next thing we want to know is, well, should we pray? Well, duh. You know, that's but let's get some reasons that we ought to pray so we won't overlook the importance of prayer. We ought to pray because God hears our prayers. Now, you know, some I used to watch on sitcoms on TV when they weren't filthy and you could watch them. And if somebody had trouble, they'd go to the psychiatrist or the psychologist and they'd lay back on the couch. And there were some funny scenes that came with the guy laying on the psych. I've never been on one and never planned to be on one. Now, I don't want to run down the importance of medical help. Don't misunderstand me. But I'll tell you where I take my problems. I take my problems not to just somebody that can listen and can't do anything about it. I take my problems to one who not only listens, but one who can and will do whatever is right and best in my situation. I may not understand what's right and best, but he does. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, notice it's in accordance with his will, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Now that would make another sermon later on. We don't have time to preach today about how to know what to ask for. But no, and by the way, there's things given in the New Testament that we have the right to ask for and he will grant us. And sometimes it's, I don't know what's best. And I pray for what I think is best and then I say, your will be done. But we ought to pray because it's not like going to the psychiatrist's couch. The psychiatrist can't do anything to help you. But God can. God can and will. And he will do what's best even we don't know what's best. Yes, because the Lord commands us to do it. We know we have to obey the Lord's commands. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean habitual prayer. Because a habit is something you do without thinking about it. But it means regular, constant prayer. That our lives are full of prayer. And here's the difference between Muslims and those who are truly Christians. Muslims have what? 3 times a day that they're supposed to go and pray. We pray always, everywhere. We always should be living lives of prayer. It's a constant, and I don't have to drop down on my knees and fall on my face in order to pray. I must do that in my heart. But my posture in prayer is not as important as my heart in prayer. And so, pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. And then, yes, because of the approved examples. Before I read Luke chapter 6, verse 12, I'll tell you another story. I think the best friend my wife Sandy ever had is a woman in Baytown, Texas. They were so close. the Proctors, and this is Anita Proctor, and Archie, her husband, and they were members of the congregation there in Baytown where I preached for 5 years. And sometimes the two of them would come over and visit, but Archie was an engineer, worked for an oil company there along the Houston Ship Channel. And sometimes he had to be gone on business, and Anita would come over by herself. And at bedtime came, I went on off to bed. I learned. I have known of Sandy and Anita sitting up all night long and just talking. I don't know how people can do that. I'm a male of the species. I do not understand how people are capable of doing that. But I've known, and I just going off to bed because I knew this is going to be a late night event and I'm not a part of this. And I didn't want to be a part of that. That's closeness of friendship. To be able to just sit and talk and the time just go away. You never realize what happened to the time. To have friends that are that close. That's the closeness that Jesus has with his Father. When Jesus walked upon earth, that's the closeness that he had with his Father. And that's an example to us. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray. and continued all night in prayer to God. Can you imagine that? Continuing all night long. And by the way, you read, that's the beginning of a context. If you read on down through verse 16, the next day he called his disciples together and chose 12 whom he named apostles. And so when Jesus was going over in his mind, all right, I've got some faithful disciples. Some are more capable. Whatever it was, the criterion for making the decision. He prayed about it all night to his Father. And the next day, he chose the 12 men who will be his witnesses to the whole world. And those who would give the New Testament for us as the will of Christ for all time to come. Before he made that very important decision, actually 12 important decisions, before he made those decisions, he prayed all night about it. When we have things that are important to us, what we need to do is spend time with God in prayer, listening to him from his word, thinking about what he says in his word, praying to him for the wisdom that we need, and talking it over with God. Jesus is our example in all things. And he's our example in prayer. And you know, when we have need, read the announcements in the bulletin. Not right now. Read the announcements in the bulletin. There's some serious things in there. And we ought to be concerned about those folks. And it is altogether appropriate that we do what the church in Jerusalem did in Acts chapter 12, verse 5. Peter was therefore kept in prison. Now the context, James had already been killed by the sword. And now Herod gets Peter and puts him in prison, intending to bring him out after Passover and put him to death too. And so what was the church doing about it? Were they petitioning Caesar, don't let Herod do this? Were they marching? What were they doing about it? But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. We have members of this congregation who are facing life-threatening situations. We individually and we as a congregation need to be offering constant prayer to God in their behalf. Yes, because in prayer, our burdens are lifted. We have that beautiful song, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. That's, of course, talking about coming to Christ Jesus. But burdens are lifted in prayer that you can't have lifted on a psychiatrist's couch. That you can't have lifted by just talking it over with a friend. There's only one way to have those burdens lifted, and that's to take it to God in prayer. In Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. Yes, we all face problems, some of them serious. Health problems, financial problems, family problems. We all face problems of various natures, and we can become driven to distraction by those problems. Be anxious for nothing. Don't go to bed at night tossing and turning and worrying and not able to sleep. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, the peace, the tranquility, the lack of turmoil, the lack of your mind. You know, the fellow that jumped on his horse and rode off in four directions at one time. The lack of turmoil, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In prayer, the burdens of our heart are lifted because we truly believe not only does God hear and answer prayer, God cares about us. He's able to do what we need. There's more that I wanted to say. I wanted to talk about how to pray. We'll have to do that another time. It's on your outline there. It's the simplest thing in the world. Don't anybody make it complicated for you. It's so simple. But it's in your outline. I'm not going to have time to talk about that. But I want to bring this lesson to a close by us Brother Lynn, you just could not have picked a better song than the first song you led today, number 62, about prayer. And I appreciate that. And you didn't even know I was going to be preaching on prayer, did you? And I appreciate that. It worked out real well. But open to the very back cover of your songbook. I hope it's back there on the back row. And it's the song, Leave It There. And we've learned this song on Wednesday night, so now let's sing it on Sunday morning. Very inside back cover of your songbook, Leave It There. I hope it's back there on the back. Let's sing this together.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember.